The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of May. May is all about the moms. That's right. It is my absolute honor to have the Women of the Paranormal special in honor and observance of Mother's Day. This episode will be mommy themed, because you know what? There's nothing scarier. Nothing still strikes fear in me quite like my mom. I had just recently attended Sci-Fi on the Rock. I had a great time. It was just a really wonderful way to connect with people, and I just want to say thanks from the bottom of my heart for anybody who attended Sci-Fi on the Rock number 9 at the Holiday Inn back in April. And if you are listening to my podcast for the first time since then, thank you so much for being there and taking the time to listen to me ramble on for 3 days straight. It was a wild time nonetheless. Sci-Fi on the Rock 9, we actually had a live spirit box session. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel, which is Life After Death Society. Just look us up and just be able to keep yourselves posted as for when that video does come out, because we did manage to capture a couple of EVPs. It was the largest group spirit box session in Newfoundland history, as far as I know, anyway. It was 50 plus people in the room, and it was just really, really great to be a part of. A little later in the show, I'm going to be joined by Melissa Martin Ellis. She is the author of the Everything Ghost Hunting book, one of my heroes, one of the people who's really helped guide me along my way, and we had just a wonderful interview. And then I'm also joined by Kat Ward. Kat was actually a friend of a past guest, Kevin St. Pierre, from my last podcast, and Kevin said, you got to get Kat on because she's really into this stuff, and lo and behold, Kat is actually a member of the Canadian Supernatural Research Society, so it's really great to have her on as well. She's not really known in the paranormal field, but I'm telling you, their website is miles ahead of a lot of people's websites. I just had a lot of fun on it, and you guys should check them out. So there you have it. Melissa Martin Ellis and Kat Ward will be joining me on the Odd the Newfoundland for our Mother's Day special very, very shortly. But first, I got to bring you guys a very special Mother's Day themed paranormal news. Well, I am a father. I know that if anybody ever hurt my kid, I'd be very, very upset. Well, seems to me like sometimes our kids can even be bullied from beyond the grave. A mother captures daughter being thrown onto the floor by a paranormal force on video is our first story. A Welsh woman was filming her daughter play when all of a sudden the toddler was mysteriously knocked to the ground. The mother uploaded the eerie footage to her Facebook wall, and the video went viral. Charlene Hood was recording her husband Gareth and their daughter Lexi play peekaboo, and as they were playing, the toddler was suddenly thrown to the floor by an unseen force. The incident happened in Kingfrig Hill, South Wales, in the United Kingdom in early January. The 31-year-old mother of three uploaded the video onto her Facebook page on February 3rd, and now the video has gone viral with over a million views. Lexi is very sturdy on her feet and is a very confident walker and a happy, funny baby. We were watching TV and there was no way she could have go back like that. We were filming her as a bit of a memento because she was doing peekaboo and she thought we couldn't see her when she covered her eyes, Lexi's dad Garrett said. In the video, little Lexi can be seen playing when suddenly she is thrown backward like something hit her in the chest and yanked her down. The toddler was standing still on both feet when she took flight and fell to the ground. She just went shooting back. Her arms went out to the side and she went back. as if she had been pushed or pulled. Then she said down, like she usually says when she's telling off the cat, if it nips her or something. When we looked at the film, it really freaked us out. Doesn't look at all like she's just falling, Lexi's father said. The Hood claims that their house might be haunted. Charlene, the mother, says that the home makes strange sounds. Lexi has two sisters, Taylor, who is 14, and Ellie, who is 9, that were sitting on the couch watching the movie Meet the Robinsons when the incident happened. They have been terrified ever since. When you hear creaks as the house is settling down, we are thinking about it more, and I keep looking at everything twice. We can't walk past an empty room without taking a look, Garrett said about the home. So there you have it. A paranormal mother who managed to capture her daughter being thrown onto the floor. I know one thing. If a ghost happened to lay a hand on my little girl, I wouldn't be long calling the exorcist. Of course, you know, it doesn't always have to be ghosts involved. Sometimes being a mom can be out of this world, quite literally. A British student is hoping to give birth on Mars. 24-year-old Maggie Liu has been shortlisted to go to Mars as part of the controversial Mars One project. The astrophysics PhD student is one of the 600 possible candidates shortlisted for the trip, and will find out next month if she has been chosen to become a part of the first group of people in history to set up a permanent residence on the red planet. Liu, however, has an additional incentive to be part of the mission, in that she is also hoping to become the first woman ever to give birth to a child on another world. It would be incredible to be Adam and Eve on another planet, she said, because it is a colonization program. It's inevitable that eventually someone will procreate, and it would be incredible to be the first mother on Mars. The first manned mission of the Mars One project is scheduled to take place in 2024, but technical and financial hurdles have brought considerable criticism and doubt upon the organization on the basis that such an ambitious project is simply not feasible within the next 10 years. There is also the problem that anyone who goes to Mars will have no way to get back again. The trip is one way because there are no launch pads on Mars, and it will require much more than $6 billion currently budgeted for the trip to bring us home, said Liu. So just imagine, giving birth to a child on Mars. So technically, you would be giving birth to an alien. Man, what an awesome concept, eh? I mean, I wonder how long the trip to Mars would actually be and how old she is now. I mean, she's in her 20s now. She'll probably be in her 30s. You know, I don't know. Sometimes being a part of history would be awesome, but, like, who's that kid going to play with? I got an idea. How about we send the 65-year-old who was pregnant with quadruplets up instead? That way they have someone to play with. Yeah, you heard me. A 65-year-old woman is pregnant with quadruplets. Let me say that one more time. She's 65. Just absolutely incredible. A teacher from Berlin has become the oldest woman in history to become pregnant with 4 babies. Angrit Ranget, who already has 13 children by 5 different fathers, is now 21 weeks pregnant with quadruplets after undergoing fertility treatment. An English and Russian teacher from Germany, Ragnik, had given birth to her last child at the age of 55, itself a record at the time. Her decision to try for more children was spurred on by her 9-year-old daughter's desire for more brothers and sisters. Having expected only one baby shower, she was shocked to discover that she was carrying 4 children. Of course it was a shock for me, she said. After the doctors established that it was indeed 4, I had to think about it at first, whether to give the children to the foster parents or adoption, or reduce them. Despite the risk inherent with having quadruplets, however, especially at such an advanced age, Ragnik and her doctor are both confident that all 4 babies can be delivered alive and well. Fortunately, with 13 children, the oldest of which being 44, the mother-to-be will also have plenty of support available to help her raise her new brood after she gives birth in the summer. 65 years old and 4 little babies on the way. Well, congratulations, 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 Angrit Ragnik. And bless your heart, because you really are what being a mother is all about. Now, my last story isn't really much of a story at all, because it's more to do with Newfoundland lore. And when I think of old women, when I think of old moms, when I think of something from Newfoundland lore that has anything at all to do with an older lady, I think of the old hag. The story of the old hag finds its origins in folklore, particularly in Newfoundland, though variations of the story are present throughout the world. Tales of an old witch maliciously sitting on the chests of her victims while they lay in bed, or curses placed upon unsuspecting individuals causing them to meet this terror in the night. The global pervasiveness of these experiences, however, has elevated the old hag syndrome to something beyond urban legend. Of course, the old hag would still be a case of sleep paralysis, which typically occurs when entering or coming out of REM sleep. A person may become caught in a state between sleep and consciousness, during which they remain aware of their surroundings but are unable to move. The sense of evil, or the noises that accompany the old hag, could be nothing more than hallucinations occurring in that state of half-dreaming. But then, how do you explain the people who have reported similar experiences without the paralysis? The commonality of every reporting? And why, of all the possible hallucinations we could experience, do we sense evil? Scientists and the paranormal enthusiasts may be at odds about what causes the old hag syndrome, but one simple truth may be enough to keep you up at night. Whatever the cause, be it paranormal or scientific, this is very real, and it does indeed exist. It happens when all dark and evil things happen, the middle of the night. What had been a peaceful sleep turns into a waking nightmare as you find yourself pinned and unable to move, shocked awake and paralyzed by an overwhelming sense of evil. The old hag has paid you a visit. While this sounds like a run-of-the-mill urban legend, the curious thing about the old hag syndrome is that it's so highly reported phenomena. People around the world have claimed at one time or another to have woken up in terror, paralyzed. But this isn't just sleep paralysis, they say. They often report seeing or hearing strange things, such as eyes in the darkness, or the heavy sound of footsteps, a dark figure looming over their bodies. Now that's one mom I can do without. Ladies and gentlemen, we got mothers who are just very lucky that their daughters weren't hurt after they got pushed down by ghosts. We have a mom who wants to give birth on Mars, a 64-year-old woman who's going to have not one, not two, not three, but four little babies, and of course the old hag herself straight out of Newfoundland lore. All of these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast does not accept donations. In lieu of this, the Stella Burry Foundation is a registered charity established in 2005 to secure financial support for the work of Stella's Circle. Learn more and please give generously at stellaburry.ca. And now, back to the show.
Okay, welcome back on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. I'm joined tonight by someone who's no stranger to the paranormal. She's written the Everything Guide to Writing Graphic Novels, the Everything Photography Book, second edition, the Everything Ghost Hunting Book, 101 Ways to Write and Find a Ghost, the Everything Ghost Hunting Book, second edition, and for all of our French fans out there, Tout sur les Chasseurs de Fantômes, and the Insider's Newport Guide as well, if you're going to Rhode Island. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined tonight by Melissa Martin Ellis, ghost hunter extraordinaire, we'll say, somebody who actually gave me my start because she was the first book I ever read before I went out and ventured into the world of the paranormal. Melissa, welcome to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
Thank you, Johnny. I really appreciate the invitation. I'm so happy to be here.
And dude, I'm more happy, and I'm going to tell you why, because like, I'm pretty isolated where I'm too. I've said this before on my podcast a million times, and I don't have many friends in the paranormal, so to speak. So I kind of feel like I'm talking to my mom here because you, everything you told me in your Everything Ghost Hunting book kind of breathes true into a lot of things I do in paranormal investigation. And I'm just really, really happy to be able to give back even just a little bit to you. And thank you for writing that book, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you for reading it. And I'm just very honored to get feedback. I mean, you know, writers write in isolation, and I do get fan letters occasionally, and I do get a little bit of feedback, but it's always wonderful to hear people just talk about their experience with the book. So thanks very much. Very much appreciated.
Indeed. And, Melissa, I just want to throw this out to everybody, who does listen to my podcast. I've got all walks of life on my podcast, and it's a paranormal podcast. We concentrate on the world of esoterica, but even so, you are quite accomplished outside of the world of the paranormal as well. And I want to share that with people. Melissa's website is melissaart.com. She's got a wonderful website there just full of everything she has conquered, so to speak, because I wrote a book too. I say conquer. It's just a lot of really, really good work. And the level of knowledge that I got from your book
It just really, really set the tone. And I'm sure there's a lot of things I wrote in my book that you'll agree and disagree with, and same with me with you. But I will say this. Thank you for giving me that baseline before I went out into the darkest parts of Newfoundland.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to hear that I've read part of your book, and I hope to finish the rest of it soon. What I've read so far, I totally agree with. So
that's great.
I think you're all set as far as that goes.
Awesome, dude. I'm really glad someone else agrees out there in the land of paranormal. You know, I know that my book really centers around my aha moment when I realized that there was more to this mortal coil, shall we say, than meets the eye, when my father, who continues to battle cancer, by the way, and continues to win against cancer, by the way, the realms of science can't explain it, but he knows it's a faith in God that's keeping him around. That was the reason why I do what I do. I investigate because I want to know firsthand what's really out there. And I want to know, that was my aha moment. But what was your aha moment with the paranormal, Melissa? What made you, shall we say, sway towards maybe the lines of a believer?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm sorry to hear about your father, and wishing him well, and hoping that he continues to keep that good attitude and continues to win the battle.
Much appreciated.
My aha moment, I can't remember a time when I wasn't interested in the paranormal and when I didn't want to investigate anything that I thought was odd. I've always been an omnivorous reader, and, you know, even as a child, I was really into the paranormal and supernatural stuff. And I'm from an Irish family, and it was just always accepted that there were such things as ghosts and, you know, mental telepathy and EFT. So it wasn't any single event I could put my finger on, but I will say after my mother passed and I had, a few contacts from her, that it sort of solidified my belief.
That's awesome. And, you know, Melissa, it just once again reiterates something I've said since the beginning of this journey for myself, is that much like everything in your life, you just don't really believe in it until it happens to you.
And, exactly.
And to me, like, that just rings so true. And I think with a lot of people who listen to my podcast who probably haven't had that paranormal experience yet, let me tell you, it's alive and well, and it will hit you between the eyes.
Yeah.
Some people quite literally, oh my God, I had so many questions, but now I have to ask, are you comfortable with maybe sharing a little bit of what happened?
I could share a little bit for sure. One of the things my sister and I were talking about this yesterday, an odd experience that a couple of days after my mother passed, or after the funeral, I went over to her house, and my father was at work, and the house was locked up. And for some reason, I had been drawn to the house to go to her room and kind of sit there and meditate and be close to her. And I couldn't get in the house, and I tried the doors, went around the house and came back to the front door and said aloud, you know, Mom, I really need to get in. Can please let me in the house? That front door popped open.
Huh. So you actually had what? That's crazy. My God. Okay, so the door actually pops open on command.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I was talking to my sister, and she had a similar experience. So we had never shared. We'd never talked about it in all the years since this happened. And, you know, yesterday, all of a sudden, she was telling me the story, and I was like, that didn't happen to you. That happened to me. And she was like, I didn't know it happened to you. But, yes, it happened to me.
Wow.
Very similar, yeah.
And those stories, you know, wow. To me, that's just really, really wonderful. Let's be honest. The reason why I do what I do, I don't know about you, but the reason why I do what I do is because I don't know what happens to me when I die.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that, it's kind of like a little nudge in the direction that, you know what, this here, what we're doing right now, this isn't everything. And the mere thought that someone so close to you that you cared so much about maybe gave you a little sign from somewhere else, man, make no wonder you're writing ghost books about all this stuff.
Yeah, indeed. And I have another one, and I'll make this very brief, that before my mother passed, she'd been ill for many years, so we talked about, what my reaction was going to be, and after she passed, and she always would say to me, just be happy and live your life. And, you know, don't grieve hard for me, and I'll send you a sign. And all those years I waited for a sign, and I'm from Tampa, Florida, but I live in New England. And the last time I was, the next to last time I was down in Florida, I visited her grave. And the sign, the signal that we had arranged was that she would drop a feather. And as I was walking away, a feather came down out of a tree and just floated in front of me.
There you go. There's your little sign. Kind of reminds me of Forrest Gump, the beginning of that movie with the feather. You remember that with Tom Hanks?
I remember the movie. Was there a feather incident?
Yes, there was. That reminds me very much. The first thing that popped in my head, and actually, it's interesting. That's what I would call a token story, you know, where you know, you have a signal, we'll say, for somebody who's passed on, and they give it to you. Man, that's a really nice story. That's a really nice story. That's really great. Make no wonder you do what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Melissa, you know, one thing I've always wanted to ask you, it's interesting because I read through your book, and I always wonder, you know, everyone has their own opinion of what exactly a ghost is. I was wondering, you know, based on your own experience, your own investigating and stuff like that, what do you really think a ghost is?
Well, I think there are different entities that we probably, you know, lump together and call ghosts. I do believe there's such a thing as elemental, which is simply like earth energy or the energy of the flora in a place. I think that possibly there's demonic energy, though I am yet to be totally convinced of that. And I think that there is the energy remnants from humans who have passed. So, you know, I don't think there's any one thing, and I don't know for sure, no one does. But throughout the ages, people have sort of broken this down into these classifications. So I would say there's a lot of different things going on.
Interesting. And you know what? Just the moment you said, I don't know, I just respect you so much more as an author and a scholar on the subject. Because you know what? I'm telling you, I have talked to some of the most, like in my mind, there are very high priority people, we'll say, in the paranormal. Okay, there's no experts in our field, Melissa, but there's a lot of high people up there who probably forgot a whole lot more than I'll ever learn. Let's put it that way. And they all say the same thing. We are not sure. I think the moment you have someone who says, I know exactly what this is, I think you should run in the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, John. We're not sure. None of us can be positive, but I mean, there is a body of knowledge that we can draw on, and our own personal experiences. And beyond that, it's all theory.
There you go. Speaking of theory, you know, I got a theory. All my heroes, such as yourself, have got heroes themselves. And, you know, I know that Melissa Martinellis wasn't born with this crazy knowledge of paranormal investigating. It didn't happen overnight. You know, I just want to know, who do you look up to, and who do you research mostly in the field, yourself?
Well, my whole fascination with not just ghost hunting, but with all paranormal phenomena and supernatural phenomena, sort of was solidified when I read Mysteries by Colin Wilson. He's a British author who passed last year, and his writing is so intelligent, so insightful, so honest, so thorough, that it just blew me away. And he's my hero, and I did dedicate both editions of Everything Ghost Hunting to him. As far as people right now in the field that I really admire, one of them is Ken DaCosta with Rise Up Paranormal in Tiverton, Rhode Island. His method of investigation is the scientific method, and he'll be the first to tell you he's a skeptic. Mm-hmm. And yet, he's had several experiences of full-bodied apparitions. So he's currently my hero as far as ghost hunting goes.
You know, there's so many great people out there who love what we love, and I'm so glad that it's alive and well. You know, I always credit the show, even though I don't agree with the methods of investigating, I always credit the show Ghost Hunters for bringing this stuff mainstream. Because 10 years ago, actually it's been 11 now, 2004 was their first episode, but 11 years ago, they got on TV and they really opened up the doors to a lot of people. And I think the biggest accomplishment in paranormal investigating over the last decade has been the fact that people no longer think we're crackpots. They now say, prove it. And I think that's a huge, huge jump. And to look, and to hear stories about, you know, people that, that you're into, like this guy. I mean, that's great, because you know what? Now I'm going to want to go research him. I want to know what he was up to 10 years ago.
You know, I totally agree with you about the show Ghost Hunters. It's inspired a worldwide phenomena. Mm-hmm. It's legitimized, you know, paranormal investigating worldwide. And it's just a phenomena that I thought would reach a peak and then sort of, you know, we'd start to see it slack off, and I haven't seen it. In fact, what I've seen is that it's just contagious. There are, you know, tons of paranormal groups in Europe, South America. It's just incredible the number of people who are out there investigating at this point.
I happen to think that a lot of the books that are being written on the subject have a lot to do with that. So thank you very much. Okay. Yeah, I got to ask you this one too, Melissa. You know, in your book, for everyone wondering what the heck I'm talking about, the Everything Ghost Hunting book, there was actually a section in the book where you talk about the land of Mundania. And, you know, that to me really stuck out, because there are things with investigating the paranormal that aren't very exciting. And to me, like, that just, it made me laugh so hard, because I could relate so much, you know? But I got to know, what's your favorite part of investigating the paranormal?
Well, if something has happened, you know, you can go on investigations and nothing happens. But if you have like an exciting night and you think, you know, you might have captured something, coming home and reviewing the evidence is always exciting. And finding something is very exciting. Sometimes the anticipation of before you even go out on a hunt can be like fabulous. I'm looking forward to moving to Ireland later in the year, and I already have a group over there that I've only chatted with them via Skype. It's Mick Doyle and his group, East Coast Paranormal Investigators, up in Antrim.
Nice.
And you know, I cannot wait to get over there. They have such a great group, and the camaraderie is wonderful. You know, they all go out and have coffee before they head out to the castle or whatever, you know.
See, to me, like, that's a dream come true. Now, I'm from Newfoundland, which is the most Irish island on the planet. We're about as Irish as you can get, with still having a maple leaf on our chest. But I'm going to say this to you. You know, one of my dreams have always been to go to Dublin and actually see some of those wonderful structures. Man, oh, man. It's funny, as a paranormal investigator, you never, ever care about the view. You always care about what's in the basement.
That's right, yeah. What's in those tunnels? I have to get down there. Yeah. It's going to be fun. One of the sites we're going to investigate is Shane's Pass, which is one of the locations they use for shooting Game of Thrones.
Nice.
But the tunnels under the castle look like just fascinating. And they have had multiple EVP experiences, wonderful things they've captured, but they've also had, you know, real life experience with like pebbles and stones being thrown at them. Whatever entity is down there, they call it the monk, is really quite active. So I am raring to go. I can't wait to get over there and investigate with Nick's group.
Sometimes you got to sit back and wonder what the hell is wrong with all of us. We want to go places and get things thrown at us. We're all crazy. But you know, I do believe they're.
I can't wait to get stoned.
Yeah, really. I can't wait to get stoned. Hopefully they'll burn us at the stake too. It'd be so much fun. You know, one thing I've noticed too on your website, actually, when I was researching you a little bit, was that you are into other things that you haven't really written a whole lot about. In particular, astral projection and near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. Can you want to tell us a little bit about the love for the astral projection and near-death experience? Because to be honest with you, I know very little about astral projection. I very, very little. I'd love to hear a little bit about it.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, as a child, I experienced this several times when I was sick. just the whole, thing where I had a high fever and everything, and out-of-body experiences. And, of course, that's extremely frightening for children, for a child to go through, and my mother was totally freaked out by it. But years later, when I was researching it, I was fascinated about the possibilities of, as far as people who are interested in this sort of thing, the possibilities of exploring another type of consciousness, possibly another dimension or whatever. So I never have specifically since then tried to do astral projection, but I still am fascinated by accounts of it. And I know there are some people who say it's terribly dangerous, that you can encounter entities that will keep you from getting back to your body. So that's kind of put me off a little bit on the whole thing.
Definitely.
I think that it's a fascinating thing.
Now, another thing, too, one thing I found, I agree with you. I my area that I love is electronic voice phenomena. That is my thing. Rod of Voices, I love it. I read a book about it. I can't get enough of it. Like Constantine Rod, I can sit back and recite some of his some of his research to you at any given time. But I have a passing interest in a lot of things too. I love UFOs. I love Bigfoot. Man, those things I love to hear about too. So that's interesting. It might not be a focus of your research, but it's interesting that you're at least open to the idea. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm totally fascinated by crop circles, UFOs, Bigfoot. I actually was an anthropology major, so, the whole Bigfoot thing, I remember discussing it in physical anthro class, and the professor was just like, absolutely, like, so disdainful that such a primate could exist in North America. It was like, what about all the evidence? And his counter was always, where's the body?
Yeah.
Show me a body, then I will
My thing to say to people who automatically dismiss the paranormal is I right away go to all the theories that we're meant to believe as our creation. I'd say, okay, well, where's the 10,000 ancestors in our family tree? That's the first thing I say.
That's a good one, actually. I don't want to get into like the area of religious, of treading on other people's religious beliefs, usually, because boy, you can get derailed very quickly that way.
Oh yeah, people got to realize too that science is definitely a religion in itself. It's full of theories and beliefs that really can never really be proven. I mean, let's face it, we'll never be able to do two big bangs to prove it existed in the scientific method. But I'll say this much: I'm so glad there's someone like you out there researching the metaphysics of it all. And I'm really excited to be able to ask you this one last little question for you, because it's just been burning me. Melissa, I want you to tell me about an experience you may have had over, we'll say, really recently, that really makes you wonder what the heck's going on in a paranormal investigation. Like, can you tell me about just an experience that you may have had in the past that was kind of like, whoa, did that just really happen?
The one that always just flabbergasts me is investigating. Newport is a really old city, and a lot of the buildings are, were built in the Gilded Age, and no expense was spared in their construction. And so there's a lot of interesting places to investigate. One of them is a French chateau that is currently the administrative building for Salve Virginia University.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just warm, but, repeatedly I heard accounts of it being haunted. So one time I gained access, a security guard that worked there let me in, and another person accompanied us, and we were walking around the tunnel under, the place is called the Ochre Fort. And the psychic, we hadn't gone really too far, the psychic was sort of, I would say, overreactive to everything. And she, at one point, just freaked out and said she would not go a step further. And I had heard all these tales of these tunnels and where they led, and I was just, like, so disappointed when the guard said that we had to leave. So they hurried back up the tunnel. She was, like, almost running. She was, like, so nervous.
Wow.
And I wasn't sensing much of anything, but but mainly because I think I was kind of annoyed at her for overreacting, because I like to for everyone to stay calm.
That's right.
So they passed through the double doors that led from this main tunnel into the hallway that led to the stairs. And these are, you know, the type of double doors in institutions that have, like, they're aluminum doors and they have a little window, but they, you can open them and lock them on either side. You know, you kind of push them and they lock at the base into a little, they click into place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're secure, you know, you're, it's just like, you don't even think about them being there. It's just a big doorway that you go through. When, after I walked through the doorway following them out, both those double doors just simultaneously clicked free of their latches and closed behind me.
Wow. Hello.
Okay, now Melissa, I'm doing something.
Melissa, what is with you in doors? Oh, my God.
You're right. I hadn't made that connection.
It seems like it's always doors in you. Something's going on there. You know, it's interesting, too. Of course, we bring ourselves right back to the beginning of our podcast when we talked about the experience of your mother.
Right.
And, you know, this is actually going to be part of a Mother's Day special. I'm having a Women of the Paranormal, we'll say, interview sessions with people. And, you know, I know your mom is up in heaven right now, but is there any message you'd like to pass along to her right now?
I would just like to say thank you. You know, thank you for being there and letting me know that you are.
And I want to say thank you so much for being on my show. Melissa Martin Ellis, guys, you can check her out at www.melissart, that's MelissArt.com. You can also check her out on Facebook and just look up Melissa Martin Ellis, of course. She's the author of 101 Ways to Find a Ghost, Everything Ghost Hunting book, as well as a plethora of other ones. Guys, get out there and check her out. Melissa, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Jonathan, thank you so much.
right, folks, welcome back on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. I'm joined tonight by a member of the Canadian Supernatural Research Society. Now, she is a team member, and there are multiple members of the team, of course, but she is an investigator with this team. Her name is Kat Ward. Kat, welcome to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
Hey, love. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm so glad to have you on. I really appreciate it, especially you, because you get to be a part of something real special, my first ever Mother's Day special. I haven't decided on a name for it yet. I think I might go with Paramother Special Day, something like that.
I like that.
Okay.
I'm a mother.
Are you a mother, Kat?
Yes, I am.
Aw, see, you're a paramom.
Yes, I am.
And happy Mother's Day to you. This will be coming out that week, of course, when it does get dropped. Now, Kat has been a part of this group for how long?
About a year. Just a little over a year.
Still a little bit wet behind the ears. Nothing wrong with that, hey?
Oh, yeah.
And
still green.
Yep. And have you had a lot of experience prior to being a part of the team, or was it really your first first outing into the paranormal?
That was really my first outing. Actually doing investigations. It's something I've always been interested in. It's always intrigued me. I think the very first time that I had any experience with a paranormal, I think I was about 7 or 8 years old. My parents and I went to a museum over in Nova Scotia. I can't remember what it's called now. It just escapes me. Anyway, so we had somebody giving us a tour, and I think it was Lewisburg, Fort Lewisburg. Anyways, so my parents and I and the guide are in one of the buildings, and I could hear footsteps coming up the hall. And I'm looking, and the tour guide says, "Oh, what are you looking at?" I said, "Oh, I hear footsteps. There's someone coming up the hall." And she says, "No, there's no one else in the building other than us. This building right now is under renovation, and there's nobody up there." And I'm like, "No, I hear footsteps." She goes, "Oh, you're hearing our ghost." And that really got my attention. I wasn't scared. I was intrigued. I wanted to go look.
Uh-huh.
But she says, "No, you can't go look." Of course, my parents, no, come on, let's go find other things. So, yeah, from a young age, I've been really, really interested in that.
That's great. And you know, there's so many people who have those experiences and it gets them into the paranormal, because I've said it 1,000 times on the show, so a lot of my guests, you really do not believe in the paranormal or the possibility of ghost phenomena, which is what you're dealing with there, or haunting, until you have your own experience.
Yeah.
And then really, really glad, I know it might sound kind of morbid, but I'm so glad you had that experience, because I get to talk to Kat Ward tonight. Kat, what do you feel may have been going on in that situation with your parents, I mean, back then, when that actually went on? Do you think you might have been listening in on maybe a residual haunting?
I think so.
That's awesome.
And for some reason, it didn't scare me. I was so intrigued. I was like, ghosts? You know, of course, you're a kid and you hear about ghosts, you know, around the campfire. Everybody talks about ghosts. And, but yeah, that was the first time that I actually ever heard anything like that, and I was really, really intrigued, and I really do believe that it was something that was at the Fort Lewisburg that was coming up the hall.
Cool. And that, see, to me, that's really interesting. You know, especially like me, I've been in the field for a couple of years myself, and you know, there's been so many times where I've been out and about, and you just wish you had a recorder in your hand that was going on. Kat, tell me a little tiny bit about the members of your team and what they bring to the table when they go into an investigation.
Well, Katie Turner, she's the founder and lead investigator, and she is also very sensitive. She hears things, she sees things. All the time we go on an investigation, she'll say, "Do you see that?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." And she's like, "How can you not see that?" I'm like, "Katie, I'm not as sensitive as you." I do have my sensitivities, but not to her extent. She'll see and hear things. It's amazing. I really wish I had her ability. Then there's April Smith. She smells things. It's, you know, she'll say, "Oh, do you smell it?" Whatever the odor would be. Nobody else smells it but her. She also, I call her our ninja in the team. Because she'll be going around taking pictures. She'll take hundreds of pictures during an investigation. You think she's at one end of the building. Then you turn around and she's standing right next to you. You know, we're not afraid of ghosts. I think we scare each other more than anything.
Oh, God, yes. Happens all the time. Especially if you're out with a team who have a different way of doing things. and yeah. different members. Like, to some people who like to stay in one spot for 8 hours, there's other people who are constantly all over the place. So
that was April. She's all over the place. And she's so quiet. Like I said, she's our ninja.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have a ninja on board.
Yeah. And then we have another Katie Gilbert. Mm-hmm. We have Chris Hibbs, and we have Les Nelson. He's our newest member. And, of course, myself. We have a few that are not active with the team right now. I'm not going to mention their names just because I don't know when they're coming back.
Well, there you go.
I'll just mention the active ones at the moment.
Yeah, and that's fair to them because, you know, some people, well, I've been faced with that situation before where you have people who want to join you and people who are gung-ho, and sometimes they leave and sometimes they stay, and it happens all the time. But the main thing is that you keep your name, the Canadian Supernatural Research Society, and you keep doing what you love to do.
And we do love it.
Yeah, I would say, indeed you do. I look at your website, and I see an awful lot of work and an awful lot of heart on in what you do. So bless your hearts for what you do over there.
Thank you.
Tell me a little tiny bit.
Too bad for only being together for a year.
Hey, listen, man. I'm telling you right now, I've been at this 2 years, and I fly solo on purpose because, realistically, I work better alone. And, yeah, I just do 100% definitely do. But what I can say is that it's so great to have a team behind you. I've been in that setting before, and what you can accomplish as a team is always so much greater than the individual. Hence the reason why I only focus on one thing, electronic voice phenomena. I don't focus on anything else. So when you guys go out to your field, I guess you all have your favorite gadgets and gizmos you like to use.
Oh, yes.
Katie, Kat, tell me a little tiny bit about your favorite piece of equipment and why you like to use it.
My favorite piece, probably, it's our newer piece right now. It's the Obelisk.
Uh-huh.
It has over 3,000 words in it. And the way I like to describe it is it's almost like a spirit to the living translator.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with the ghost box, obviously.
Oh, yes. It's one of my specialties.
Yeah. The ghost box is really good. I don't like it just because it's noisy. It's too noisy.
Now I do have a version of the Spirit Box PSP7, same one you guys use, but it's actually quieted. You can also buy them with the AM shushed. I bought one with the AM shushed. One of the ones I got has actually got a quieted AM setting, so there's absolutely no radio noise.
Oh, nice!
Throw that bad boy in a Faraday's box or cage, like I use, and man, oh man, you got yourself a very quiet ghost box.
Well, the reason why I like the Obelisk is it's quiet. And like I said, there's over 3,000 words that are programmed into it. But then words will come out, you know, what are the odds of you asking a specific question and the Obelisk will actually give you a response to the question that you're looking for? Out of all the thousands of words that are in there, and it picks the correct word, you know?
That's right.
It's not random.
And if it was random, the statistics alone would be kind of like, hey, man, like, this is impossible. So
yeah.
I've actually had the wonderful opportunity using one with another old friend of mine. And we were actually at one of the most haunted places in Newfoundland, Cape Spear. And we actually used the Obelisk, and it was actually a really interesting experience. I never found it to be too effective, but once again, I only used it once. I mean, I've gone out with every piece of equipment and had good nights and bad nights, so who knows, right? What do you think's the craziest thing you ever heard come through the Obelisk?
It was one of, not the last investigation we did, but the one before that. The activity started after a house fire, and they were renovating.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really know, well, the owner knew how the fire was started, but we didn't know. So we're asking questions, and the Obelisk kept saying, kitchen, wire.
Oh.
And then we looked at the owner, and they said, yeah, it started in the kitchen, it started with the wiring.
So there you have it. For everybody out there who might be skeptical of the Obelisk, I happen to believe that ITC, which is what we're really dealing with here, instrumental transmutation, I think it can happen through any piece of equipment, given the right times and circumstances. But man, oh man, it's really refreshing to hear an actual positive hit on an Obelisk. Man, oh man, that is really, really specific.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really neat when it does that.
Kat, tell me a little tiny bit about your scariest moment in the field. So far, was there a moment where you were kind of like, whoa, did that just really happen?
Well, I wouldn't really say it was the scariest part, but it was my very, very first investigation with the team. And we're in this home. I knew where it was. Katie and I were in this one room, and we're asking, you know, the usual question, if you're here, give us a knock on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we hear a knock. So I knew exactly where everyone else was in the house, and they were nowhere near where the knock was coming from. So I thought, okay, it's an older house. Maybe it's shifting, you know, winter time. So we ask a couple other times, can you knock three times? You know, give us a specific amount of knocks. And again, it knocks the amount of times that we were asking. Again, this is my very first investigation. I know where everybody is, and the knock's coming from completely opposite end of where everybody else is. Nobody else is there knocking on the wall. I look at Katie, she looks at me, and I'm just like, whoa, that was so cool. I'm so excited.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. You know, some people, they react to the paranormal different ways. I think after a while, you get desensitized anyway. Like,
yeah, you do.
I go out with somebody, and I go investigate with them, and literally, they'd be jumping and kind of nervous about every little thing, and you'd be sitting back, you know, chilling out, going, oh my God, I'm so bored. When is something going to happen? But it's great to have that little bit of excitement, and it's still fresh in your mind, too, where you're kind of new to it, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, 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 really great. And one thing I love to do when I'm in the field is to have that little moment where it's kind of like, whoa, did that really happen? So I'm glad you got to experience that, because Lord only knows I've been on many investigations where nothing's happened at all.
Yeah, exactly. Some nights are more active than others, and yeah. I really didn't expect anything to happen. You know, like I said, my first time out of the gate, didn't expect anything. Didn't know what to expect. And that was really, really interesting.
Kat, tell me what's really the reason why you like doing this? What drives Kat Ward to investigate the paranormal?
Well, one of the things, you know, it doesn't matter what culture you're from. There's always ghost stories. That's almost what brings everybody together. No matter how many years back, as long as recorded history, cultures have always talked about ghosts. And, you know, I want to know what things that go bump in the night. I want to know what it is. It intrigues me. I'm just so curious.
Awesome. And, you know, I think that curiosity, you know, it holds true. Let's just hope that, you know, that curiosity doesn't kill the cat.
I was just thinking that.
Like, how have we not cracked this joke yet? I don't know. But we'll put that sound. I'll try to put that sound effect in there for you. Tell me a little tiny bit about some of the places that you've investigated and where exactly you guys are localized.
We're in Ontario in the Ottawa Valley.
Okay.
And we've done a few public or you know private homes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone to Buck Hill a couple times. I don't know if you're familiar with Buck Hill.
No, not.
See if I can remember what the gist of the story is. Apparently this little girl, I don't remember the entire story, little girl went missing, you know, back in the horse and buggy day. I can't pinpoint the year, I just don't remember. And her father went looking for her with a lantern. And so they say that if you go up the hill, and there's nothing there, there's houses, you know, a few houses below the hill, but the further up you go, there's just trees. No street lights, nothing. So you get to see the stars, you know, it's kind of pretty actually. So they say that if you go to the top of the hill with your vehicle and you angle it down and you shut the lights off, you're supposed to flash your lights and go, daddy, 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 and you're supposed to be able to see the girl and a lantern crossing the street, crossing the road that you're on. We've been there a few times and had things being thrown at us, you know, pine cones, pebbles, when, you know, but that's kind of hard to tell because it could be somebody hiding in the woods. It's hard to say that the place isn't contaminated with the living, you know. But again, there's woods. You're going to hear anybody that's walking. So to have things thrown at us specific times when we ask, you know, can you throw something at us? Not too big. And you can hear footsteps. It sounds like people running through the forest and then across the road in front of you, but there's obviously, you don't see anybody, but you can hear the running. That's really, really interesting. And, I actually did see the light. Katie, she kept saying, do you see the light? And I'm like, no, I don't see it. She says, how can you not see it? Finally, I'm like, oh my, I actually do see it.
Nice.
So I was pretty excited to see that.
That's a lot of awesome, crazy phenomena you've been through so far. I mean, no wonder you're in love with this.
Yeah.
Kind of helps to have an army of psychics by your side, though. Big shout out to the rest of the crew at CSRS. Don't worry, I'll hope to have you guys on as well. But Kat likes to listen to things that go bump in the night and also things that ring on her Skype. So she got to be the first here. You know, I like to think that there's always a looming investigation in everyone's mind. Me, I'm a little bit more focused on one or two areas where I run different experiments. Is there any place you guys might be, shall we say, frequenting more often than others?
Yeah, Buck Hill, we went there about 3 times.
Okay, yeah.
3 or 4 times.
And then and that's something I don't like about paranormal investigators on TV. You know, you see them go to a different location every single week. It's kind of like, well, I don't know about you, but like, if there was a haunted house, I'm going to want to investigate that place like 20 times to see if I can get, see if I can get that repeatable data. And I think it's one of the biggest shortfalls in the field where people just hop from place to place and don't return.
Yeah.
So it's great to hear that you guys do the place more than once, right?
Oh yeah. Cause, like I said, I think the first time we went, I was not able to attend. They said it was really, really active. The second time we went, it was active, but not as much as the first time. So, you know, ideally what I would love to do for an investigation is leave the cameras and leave the audio for like a couple of days, not just a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a pain having to go over the footage, but, you know, sometimes there might not be anything, just, you know, the 4 or 5 hours that you're there investigating, but it might happen later on during the night.
That's true as well. That's very, very true, especially if you're dealing with something that might be residual. You know, you got that area that might have it. So say the record might be playing over and over again. You don't really know the time interval.
Yeah, exactly.
Kat, do you believe that what you're dealing with in the field really are the departed souls, we'll say, the dead? Or do you think there's something else going on?
I don't know, and that's one of the reasons why I want to do it. Like, I've heard of some people say it's other dimensions that we're listening to, and some people saying, yes, it is departed. I really don't know. I want to know, and I think that's why I keep investigating, because I really, really want to find out.
That's great, and I think now I know why I want to gravitate towards Kat Orr, because you sound a lot like someone I know very well, myself. hopefully you have less facial hair. I don't know. Kat, do you have any advice out there for anybody who just really loves the paranormal and wants to go out and investigate a place?
Don't be scared. Go and do it. Start out with a little voice recorder and ask questions and listen to it and see what happens. Just, you know, start small if you want to, but don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, Kat Ward of the Canadian Supernatural Research Society was my guest tonight. One of a couple of guests, of course, for my Mother's Day special. I gotta say it to you. Happy Mother's Day to you, Kat.
Thank you.
And, I hope to talk to you again someday soon.
I hope so too. This was fun.
And, man, oh man, I can't wait to have the rest of your crew on. Everyone seems so interesting. And, I hope you enjoyed your time on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast tonight.
I sure did. Thank you so much.
Alright. You take care of yourself now.
Thanks. You too.
Alright. Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, @ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever popular parajoke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.